Los Angeles Times just published a look at the LA City Fire Department. There was a goal, a long-term goal for Mayor Eric Garcetti for the department to hit 5% women firefighters by 2020, currently 3.3% of the city's 3,300-plus firefighters are women. But LA is not alone in having a challenge in increasing the numbers of women who are in firefighting. The question is, what are the either barriers or problems with turnover or other challenges, cultural, whatever they may be, that's keeping those numbers comparatively low? Joining us, battalion chief in charge of firefighter recruitment for the Los Angeles Fire Department and board member of LA Women in the Fire Service, Christine Larson. Chief Larson, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me on.
Share with us, just from your personal experience as someone who's been working in this profession for a number of years, what are some of the things that you've dealt with that were obstacles that your male colleagues didn't necessarily have to deal with?
Well, I mean, I think just being female, you stand out. So that's just a difference right then and there. But as far as all the other challenges, I mean, all the opportunities for promotion and moving forward within the organization are the same. It's just a question of how much effort you put into it. You know, obviously being female, you're always having to prove yourself, but I think that goes for everybody that starts stepping up within an organization.
With young women that you might talk with, that you'd identify as potential recruits for the department, what are some of the things they raise with you that are their concerns?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, you know, our testing process is a long and arduous process. Our list goes for 2 years. So when we do our selective random sample, they may not get called first. And that's a huge barrier for our department overall, which is a list is good for 2 years. Last list, we had almost 8,900 candidates participate in our hiring process. And as we get ready to open this up again, I expect at least that many, if not more. Because this is a highly coveted position. So it's competitive, and it's competitive for both the men and the women. I think the women are just a little bit more concerned about what's going to be expected and what they're going to have to do, and we have programs that can help prepare all the candidates to get ready to be firefighters for the city of Los Angeles.
Are women who are applying given any sort of advantage, given that you've got just so many more applicants per spot than, you know, it makes it very difficult. Do you, in efforts to raise the numbers of women, give them any advantage?
We don't have any advantage. I mean, the selective random sample pulls people randomly, so I can't say that one person has an advantage over the other. Everybody's pretty much on an even playing field, but we offer all of our candidates programs to be successful. We have an applicant orientation program that sits and gives them the basics of what the fire department is like, what our schedule is like, what things to be, you know, looking out for, how they can better prepare themselves for the interview process and all that. And then as far the candidates get farther through the process, we have a CAP program, which is a physical preparation program that is open to the candidates that are in the testing process after they pass their interviews. And it's one of those things that allows all the candidates to go and get physically prepared for the rigors of the academy.
We're talking with Christine Larson, who is battalion chief in charge of firefighter recruitment for the L.A. Fire Department. That's the city of L.A.'s fire department, and a member of the board of Los Angeles Women in the Fire Service, a local nonprofit. I'd like to hear from firefighting professionals. If you're a firefighter, perhaps a chief in a city or a county department, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the challenges of raising the numbers of women, the percentage of women in firefighting. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. There are currently 110 sworn women firefighters in the LA Fire Department. That's up from 92 just 7 years ago. but well off the goal of 5% of women in the L.A. City firefighting forces. 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Also with me is the president of Women in Fire, a nonprofit networking organization, provides education and support for women in fire service. She's also the operations chief for the McMinnville, Oregon Fire Department. Amy Hanifin, thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Looking at this as a national issue, are there some prime examples of departments that have been particularly successful in recruiting and retaining women?
I'll give you some general examples of things that can be helpful tools, if you will. And Battalion Chief Larson, of course, touched on a couple. The orientation day allowed to all employees that might be interested in joining your organization is great for allowing someone to identify whether they feel like they would fit within your organization or if it's somewhere that they would want to work. Certainly any of the prep for the physical ahead of time is huge. Another thing that's been really helpful is taking a look at marketing. So if I run a fire organization and I want to create a more inclusive atmosphere, what do the pictures look like on my website? If I, as an applicant, pull up someone's website, do I only see one type of person on there, or do I see a mix of people and someone who I might identify with? So those are just a few things as far as some low-hanging fruit, if you will. There are other options, of course, if you want to get a bit more deep into putting out a women's camp or some recruitment type days.
So there are some departments which actually have specific sorts of training or orientation aimed at women, like a camp?
I don't know that I would necessarily say it's aimed at women. There are some departments that will offer a young women's camp. So that is more for engaging women when they're at that younger age. It's found that middle school to high school are typically the ages where youth will kind of develop the desire for what they want to do with their life. And so that's been kind of a beneficial piece is putting out those youth camps for women, creating an atmosphere where they can come and be comfortable in training and not feeling like they're going to look silly if they mess up on something, and just really creating kind of a strong, solid atmosphere for that initial taste.
Coming up, we'll talk about the physical requirements of firefighting, how that factors into gender in firefighting, also about the residential aspect of it with firefighters living together during the times that they're working, and how the culture of the firehouse has evolved over the years. Again, our phone line's open for firefighting professionals. Welcome your thoughts about efforts to increase the number of women who are working in firefighting. 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Next hour, we'll have an update for you on the New Hampshire primary and, of course, live NPR coverage of the New Hampshire primary at 5 o'clock this afternoon right here on 89.3 KPCC. And tomorrow, we'll spend considerable time analyzing the results. 866-893-KPCC or the Air Talk page, kpcc.org. Let's talk with Judith. Judith, where in the Inland Empire are you calling from?
I'm calling from Redlands, but I'm actually visiting from Seattle. I no longer live in California.
Okay, very good. Go right ahead, please.
I am initially for two things. One, I respectfully disagree about testing for women. I had taken a fit test. I had trained extensively for a city fire department, and I couldn't pass the fit test only because at the very end, you had to there was a test where you had to put a ladder from the take a ladder off some hooks down to the ground and put the ladder back up. And it was a ladder with two ladders put together. The only reason I couldn't pass that test is I was not allowed to move my hand from one position. I could move the ladder safely if I was able to move my hand. Secondly, I wonder about gear. When I was a seasonal firefighter, we had two sets of firefighting equipment. One was gear. One was for wildland. One was for structure and car fires and such. So my turnouts were bigger and didn't fit correctly. Also, I had to wait for a smaller mask to fit over my face, and until then, I had to use one that was ill-fitting and therefore was exposed to smoke.
And so
I also wonder, has the technology with the equipment gotten better and lighter? It used to be that we had cotton-covered hoses that when they got wet were really heavy. They also had brass fittings.
Well, let me just do that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but we're getting short on time, but you raise really good points. So your contention, I think, about that test and the moving of the ladder on and off the truck is there wasn't really a logical reason for you not being able to move your hands to get the ladder up and down. And then the question about new technology, lighter weight materials, and hardware, an excellent point. Let's talk, ask Christine Larson, L.A. City Fire Department Battalion Chief, about that. Your thoughts on those two issues?
Well, each department is allowed to pick their own test. I think a lot of the West Coast departments now are going to the CPAT test, Candidate Physical Abilities Test, which is a standardized test, and that's something that we offer practice for at our training facility for free, so that gives a candidate an opportunity to practice those events before they actually go and take the test. So it gives you a hands up. We know that women, if they have a chance to practice that test, are generally more successful in that passing that exam.
And you feel like the restrictions, the sort of conditions that are placed on all these different tests are all well aligned with what firefighters face in the field, that they really are essential in the limitations in those tests?
That test is a little less, it sounds like a little less strenuous than what she was going through. And like I said, each department has the ability to make their own test. So before we used a CPAT, we used a couple other tests and we didn't like them, so we changed to this. So it's really a department's preference, honestly.
Okay. And have there been significant changes in technology so that the weight of material in clothing and the hardware has changed?
I think so. Our department fits everybody individually for their gear. We've gone to a turnout style turnout gear, the structure gear, that is a little bit more athletic fit. The companies have decided that, you know, firefighters are kind of tactical athletes, and so they deserve clothing that moves with them well, that still protects them in the safety requirements that need to be taken issue with. Face pieces are personally fit. Everything is individually fit. More and more departments are going to a lighter, little bit lighter weight hose that doesn't have brass fittings, that has like a pyrolite fitting, which is a little bit lighter. But when you put water in hose, it is heavier. I mean, you know, a gallon of water weighs 8.25 pounds, so 3.5 pounds. So it's still heavy. I mean, there's no getting around stuff being heavy in our profession.
Christine Larson, LA City Fire Department. Amy Hannafin of Women in Fire and Operations Chief McMinnville, Oregon Fire Department. Your thoughts on those two issues that Judith, our caller, raised.
Right. So Christine, I mean, hit the nail on the head as far as the physical test goes. Many departments have gone over to the CPAT, especially in this region of the country, but each organization does get to vet and choose their own physical test. As Women in Fire, we promote that CPAT is the most fair test for anyone that's wanting to get into the fire service. Certainly, we have to have some sort of a physical exam to ensure that anyone that wants to go out and, you know, be able to fight fire or lift people up or anything in between is able to perform the task. As far as the gear goes, we have been working with some of the industry manufacturers to hone in on the custom fit and the athletic fit, as she had mentioned earlier. It has been a big issue that gloves and bulky shoulders have caused primarily women, but also some men that have different frames, issues with being able to get out and move and perform the job when a one-size-fits-all type of turnout is chosen as the department's PPE.
I also wanted to ask you, Amy, about the culture in the firehouse. This is something that was certainly a concern here in Los Angeles. I know in other areas, too, about it not being a welcoming environment historically for women, the ones early into the profession. How much has that changed?
Right. So there again, it really depends on the organization and how much they've done to kind of create that more positive culture and atmosphere. There are still organizations that are struggling through that. We still hear stories week to week of a fire department having their first female start in the organization. And, you know, when you have those new people or kind of that new category of a hire, it really can be something for the organization to work through. Thankfully, we have a generation that's coming up that seems to be a lot more inclusively minded, but we're not fully there yet. There's a lot of work to be done.
Christine Larson, Battalion Chief, quick thought on the culture of the firehouse. What have you seen?
It's definitely changed over the years. Could it be better? Of course. I mean, I think like everything else, things continue to evolve and they get better with time. And I think one of the issues that you have, especially if you're talking about a minority group within an organization, is the fact that you need to have a critical mass before a lot more of that culture changes. And usually that's somewhere between 10 to 20% of the organization being that specific minority. So it just takes time. And I think, as Amy said, as more women get into the profession, that will change. But it is kind of sad that it's 2020 and we're still seeing, you know, I'm the first woman within my fire organization.
Thanks so much, Battalion Chief Kristen Larson, L.A. Fire Department, board member of L.A. Women in the Fire Service, and Amy Hannafin, Operations Chief, McMinnville, Oregon Fire Department. She's the president of the nonprofit Women in Fire. It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. I'll tell you about the second hour in a moment.